Heavenly Father, you have chosen us since before the foundation of the world to do your work and your will. You knew the world would be wrecked by sin, but you knew also of your plan to put it back together. And you've put the paintbrush in our hands. You've given us the task of restoring your world to you. So Lord, open the eyes of our hearts. Remind us of how we are agents and where we are agents. Lord, send us. Here we are. Lord, I ask for all of us that you would plant the names of people, specific people by name, that are in our lives or that this week will be in our lives. Maybe we'll meet them for the first time. Reveal yourself and your will to us. Send us, Lord. And if it's to a place, make us to know what that place is so that when we get there this week, that we'll recognize the moment and that by your Spirit, you will remind us that we are on your mission. Heavenly Father, fulfill these things for us for the sake of your own name. May we not forget what we've heard from you. May we go in confidence and focused on your mission. In Jesus' name, amen. Now it's on a card. Now you've written it down, or you've written someone down. You got to take it with you now. Put it in your purse, ladies, guys. Put it in your wallets. Put it on the dashboard of your car if you need to. Just put a little sticky right there. Because you're on a mission. You're on a mission. You're being sent. You have something to do right where you are. Now, in the midst of that mission, Jesus offers some other clear advice. And he says that now that you've got your mission, you're going to have to travel light. Travel light. Because these disciples of his are going to have to be pretty dependent. He says, go, don't take a purse or a bag, don't take sandals. And I think he means an extra pair of sandals. I don't think the disciples were walking around barefoot. That would have been really tough. But no extra sandals. And when they go to communities where they're sent, and when they get in situations, he says, now, once you're received at a house, you got to stay there. In other words, you don't have any money, you don't have any food, you're just going to have to go and find out because you're sent. Well, that's kind of a colossal risk, but apparently the 72 were willing to do it because they believed that they were sent. You see, they didn't let the challenges or the difficulties or the risks get in the way. They said, hey, we're on a mission from God. So they went, and they went out throughout these towns, and some of these towns that they were going through were, well, they had mostly Jews in them, but they had some Gentiles, some non-Jews, and the non-Jews, boy, what kind of food would they be eating? They might be serving up to these Jewish disciples of Jesus some food that the Jews would say, no, I can't eat that. That's against my rules. And Jesus says, pretty emphatically, eat what's set before you. I'm sorry, Jesus, that's just not proper. But you are on a mission from God. Don't let your religious hang-ups get in the way of doing what is faithful. Be careful with that saying, right? But think it through clearly. Don't let your religious hang-ups get in the way of doing what is faithful. If God has sent you somewhere, go and witness to him. Sometimes the small stuff isn't going to matter as much if you're right where God wants you to be. Keep your focus. But you might have to be dependent on someone else. Certainly we're dependent on God. Certainly we'll have to be humble. But don't let the excuses get in the way. It was years ago at Thanksgiving where I got an invitation to a Thanksgiving meal. And I've had Thanksgivings with lots of you. Okay, it's none of you. Just relax, okay? But years ago, a Thanksgiving, and unfortunately, I knew what I was getting into if I accepted the invitation, because I'd been in that house, and I'd seen what the kitchen looked like, and there were just used dishes and food encrusted on all of them in the dish drying rack. And I knew that they kept a lot of animals there too, like cats and dogs, and maybe they had birds at one time, and it smelled like it. And I'd been in their basement, which was even more foul, and the whole house stank, and I knew it. And every time that I would go over to this house, I'd like get on different clothes that I knew that I could, upon leaving, get back to my house, take off, and immediately wash. It was that kind of place. It was foul. And I got this invitation to Thanksgiving, and I thought, oh boy, am I going to get sick? Like, if I accept this invitation to Thanksgiving and I eat their food, I'm going to get sick. And then, like, I'm going to struggle through the Sunday service after that, and like, oh no, this is, but how do I say no? Because it wasn't a question in the end of, well, am I comfortable with this or not, or, you know, am I really going to eat whatever it is that they sit in front of me? Maybe it's turkey, maybe it's mystery meat, I don't know. But I went, because you see, I believed I was sent. I had to go. Okay, so maybe I risk my health for an hour. Hopefully that's all, the only amount of time. I didn't get sick. But even if I had, that's less important than me being obedient to God sending me. Because I had to remember, it's not about that. It's about being on a mission from God. So I went. I had Thanksgiving in a place I really wasn't comfortable with, in a place that didn't smell good, a place that made me sneeze a lot, even though I took lots of allergy pills before I went. That's all small stuff. I was there to serve God. I had to set aside the rest of that stuff because I'm on a mission. That might happen to you. Not that you're going to get a Thanksgiving invitation this week, but it might happen that you've got a reason why maybe you're not comfortable speaking about Jesus to somebody who really needs to hear it, or you're not going to be comfortable praying with somebody who desperately needs to be prayed with. But if not you, then who? Sometimes we spend our lives praying for people who want their circumstances to be changed. And we say, oh, Lord, change their lives or do this for them or change their situation. If I'm not mistaken, God put you there. Why wait for somebody else to be the change that you're asking for? You're sent. You are on a mission. You be the change. That's not in some sort of nice postmodern humanistic sense. To do positive things only. It's to do these things that Jesus sends you out on, to restore the whole world, to recognize him as Lord. That's the mission you're on. You have a kingdom announcement to make, and you can do it in your words, you can do it by how you live. You're the agents. Well, in verse 17, the 72 come back. They come back, and they say, hey, Jesus, check this out. This actually works. He sent them out to heal. He sent them out to have table fellowship with people. He sent them out to cast out demons. And they come back and say, hey, Jesus, even the demons submit to us in your name. Well, maybe given what they've seen from Jesus to this point in Jesus' ministry, they shouldn't be surprised. And yet, oh, they're very surprised. Now it's not just Jesus, it's them too. How can that be? Jesus says, look, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And what's a little ambiguous in the original language is that Jesus isn't just talking about some event in the deep past. What he's saying in reply to people who come back to him and say, wow, this whole kingdom of God stuff, this is real. He says, yeah. And while you were out doing that, the kingdom of darkness was falling apart. While you are out on mission, Satan's crumbling. Remember that there's not only the kingdom of God, there's the kingdom of Satan. There's the kingdom of evil. There's only two kingdoms. You're in one or you're in the other. But if you're in the one, if you're following Jesus, you are a part of the effort to topple the kingdom of darkness. And that any effort you make to be on mission, any moment that you remember, any time that you realize Jesus has sent you, you are also fighting a spiritual battle. That because evil, then, is one kingdom, that pain, that suffering, that sin, that darkness and death, all of those things are of a piece. They're one kingdom. An attack that you make in Jesus' name on any one part of it is an attack on all of it. You're on a mission from God. So for myself, maybe it would seem that I could offer some obvious examples, but it's just my profession. You all have professions too. You all have places where you're sent. Right now, I'm sent to be a pastor. 2 years ago, almost, Beth had this violent medical event that almost killed her. That was back on June 25, 2015. So we went to the emergency room, got seen just in time. She was a couple hours away from bleeding to death. And we began to realize that as the doctors hustled around the hospital, and I thought, boy, you don't usually call somebody in at 1 a.m. to do surgery unless it's pretty serious business. So we went through that week, and I don't think any of you would have begrudged me if I'd said about that Sunday, hey, guys, I need to take this Sunday off, right? Except I made a decision. Because what happened then was part of a whole complex of the world not being the way it's supposed to be. And what I decided to do is to strike back. I wanted to preach that Sunday. Because it's not as if I go through this life without tools to fight this spiritual battle. I have a mission. And so I said, I have to be in church on Sunday. Yes, my wife almost just died this past week, but I have a mission, and I'm going to hit back. What's my job? I'm going to preach. I am going to speak of Christ. I am going to hold out his kingdom. That is how I fight. That is how this world is to be won. So I did. Yeah, the next week, I asked for that Sunday off. But the kingdom of darkness got a reaction from me. And it wasn't a reaction to back down. It wasn't a reaction to be bent and broken. It was a reaction to be angry and to fight and to say, I am on a mission, and no matter what you do to me or to my family, I will not stop. Because I remembered, I'm on a mission from God. Each of you is on the same mission. The same mission to restore the whole world. And yeah, you're not going to get up and preach, but there are places where you've been sent. Places that might be challenging, that might be difficult for you. Relationships that are hard in which to proclaim any kind of gospel or to be gracious. But you've got these cards and you've got these papers now. Don't back down. You are in a spiritual battle and you belong to the kingdom of light. So keep your focus on the mission. Restore the world. Do that and you're going to be able to turn back to Jesus and say, wow, this really works. The kingdom of darkness is being defeated. And the best part about it is you can start right where you are because Jesus has sent you for the sake of his glory and the glory of the Father. Amen. Pray with me. Father, we praise you because you are Lord of heaven and earth. You've hidden these things from the wise and the learned of the world. You've revealed them to little children, to we people who are broken, to us sinners. Yes, Father, this was for your good pleasure. So we pray, Lord, this morning that you would send out your workers into the harvest field. Let's not become weary in doing good because at the proper time, Lord, in your will, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, Lord, by your Spirit, make us to do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers and especially to those who do not yet belong. Lord, make us bold. Set aside our excuses, the things we're not comfortable with. Put us on that mission and keep us on the mission. Change us so that we might restore the world in your name, even as we wait for the full restoration. We submit all these things to you. In Jesus' name, amen.